is the Senate Social Committee on Education. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We have before us Senate Bill 14, and staff for Senator Davis here to present it. If you go ahead and put yourself on the record, please.
Good morning. I'm Tom Obermeyer, legislative aide to Senator Davis. We're here this morning regarding Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 14. This is an act raising the compulsory school age relating to the crime of delinquency, contributing to delinquency of a minor, relating to the Department of Education, early development, and relating to truancy. In summary, this bill raises the compulsory school age to 18 for children enrolled in public schools in Alaska. It provides one truancy officer to school districts over 1,000 average daily members. It also requires every school district to install a review body to develop and implement procedures to reduce and prevent truancy. The purpose of the truancy section of the bill is to engage students in school, not to punish, suspend, expel, or take them or their parents to court. As a background, today to compete in the 21st century, all students at a minimum need to stay in school long enough to obtain a high school diploma. Studies show that students without a diploma earn less than 75% of those with a diploma, are more likely to live in poverty, go to jail, and have health problems. Opportunities for college education and high-paying jobs are very limited without a high school diploma. Over 3,000 students in Alaska drop out each year, generating one of the highest dropout rates in the nation. Minorities report the highest dropout rates, including Alaska Natives, at double the rate of others at 14%. To discourage dropping out before receiving a diploma, the National Education Association is a first priority in its 12-point plan, provides or recommends mandating high school graduation or equivalency as a compulsory school age, compulsory for everyone below the age 21. Only 27 states maintain the cutoff at age 16. Five states increased school age to 17 or 18 in the last 5 years. There are now 18 states compelling school age to 18, including South Dakota, which just passed the law in effect in March 1st of 2007. The need for this bill is demonstrated by low graduation rates in Alaska. For example, in the largest school district in the state, the Anchorage School District, which has over 49,000 students, reported a graduation rate in 2006 of 63.9% compared to 70% nationwide. Alaska Natives graduated at a rate of 47% compared to 55% for African Americans and a little over 70% for Caucasians. Students will want to come to school, stay to school, and graduate if they are identified early and helped long before dropout through an effective truancy program which is combined with academic monitoring, collaboratively designed remedial school programs and or alternate schools, and parent support to age 18. Increasing the compulsory school age to 18 also reduces delinquency, gang and criminal activity, teen pregnancy, and demands on health and social services. Coupled with early efforts to retain, train, and graduate, Senate Bill 14 can bring hope and promise to thousands of Alaska students caught in the middle of unwise and often lifelong decisions to drop out. You'll note that at the bottom of the sponsor statement is an explanation of the revisions in the committee substitute. Section 1 addresses a necessary criminal law change to Title 11 contributing to the delinquency of a minor if a person aids, induces, causes, or encourages a child under 18 to be repeatedly absent from school without cause. Section 2 provides vocational education and training of children over 17 who are no longer attending school. And I will note that I have talked with the Department of Education about that. That AVTEC program that this may have related to has been moved to the Department of Labor. That's a matter of discussion. Section 3 is compulsory school age between 7 years and under 18. Then finally, Sections 4 and 5 relate to truancy and truant officers. Section 4 requires each school district to install a review body and develop and implement procedures to reduce and prevent truancy. Section 5 provides one truant officer, as explained, for every school district of 1,000 students or more defined by that average daily membership. Now, I don't know.
Thank you, Tom. Before you go any further, just for the record, let me indicate that we have a full house today. Senators Davis, Olson, Stevens, Huggins, and Wilkin. Thank you very much, Tom. Did you other presentation before we ask questions, or?
Well, I know there's a number of people that wish to testify. I wanted to make note that in your package should be the National Education Sound Alarm on School Dropout Crisis. There are 12 steps in your package. The very first one was increasing compulsory school age. You also will have a number of other things in there I think that will be of use, including, I think, and I'm not too sure whether it was inserted at the last minute here, document that was offered by Senator Huggins regarding increasing the issue regarding increasing school age in New York, and it describes issues among all the states. All of them seem to find that in increasing the compulsory school age, you have to offer assistance to these children through other types of programs to make sure they're brought up to speed, or they will continue to drop out.
Thank you, Tom. Yes, that was included. That's your last, regarding the last tab in your book, and there's been some fascinating things to read there that very helpful to understand it. Let's see, just a quick question. I think there's a misunderstanding. I received a lot of emails on this, and I think a misunderstanding that that if a child graduates from high school, we would still force him to stick around until he's 18. Would you clarify that?
Yes. And I explained this to Superintendent Como yesterday, who is online, I believe. But this, we anticipated this. We were going to use the words until receiving a diploma or until the 12th grade. But the subsection B that's cited in the statute itself, but is not reiterated in our committee substitute of 1430.010B. It says this section does not apply if a child, and they have all this list of exceptions, has completed the 12th grade. Well, we understood that if you completed the 12th grade, you would have received a diploma if you were 17 or 18. But I think the language could be changed to address receiving a diploma at age 17, because many of them, as explained by Superintendent Como, do receive their diplomas at age 17. It may be earlier.
So that's something you will address.
Yes, and I think the drafter is available to handle this. I discussed that with her yesterday.
And she is online?
She's on. Should be online.
Oh, she's here. I'm sorry. Let's see.
We talk only on the phone.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Further questions, Mr. Royer, at this time. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Tom, at some point in time, I think it would be interesting for us to hear, in my reading of the studies, that in some states, the school district has the authority to make the decision that we're talking about.
Well, through the chair, yes, Senator Huggins, the purpose of this, and sometimes it's read differently, but the purpose of this statute was to allow a great deal of flexibility in every school district to implement this program. We're not telling them how to do this. We ask in the draft for the assistance of the Department of Education in setting up programs for these school districts. We're asking that every school district have a review committee or a body to address the problem of dropouts, but we're not telling them how to do it. And clearly, if you only have one truant officer in a school district of 49,000 students, that officer can't be at every meeting. He's going to have to receive, he or she has to receive information and work with a program. The idea is to have the parents and the community, as well as the principal and the school people and the students and the individual students who are truant, involved in the process to bring them back to school and see what their problem is, address them, and try to get them to graduate. And it can't be done alone. The school districts that have been successful around the nation include Houston. I think they have like 400 parent truant officers that assist in this process. When I call them truant officers, they may have another designation, but they work on this. And Dallas has a program with the business community that helps fund an alternative school process that brings these kids in, allows them to work, provides them jobs when they need it, and works them through their diplomas. So it does require more than just putting truant officers in a school. It's a combination of issues. But it should be flexibility.
So your question, Senator Huggins, is should we be enabling districts to do this, or should we be having an overall statewide approach?
Yeah, I mean, it's the merits of a decentralized decision-making process versus centralized in one respect. But if I might, Mr. Chair, the beauty of this, Tom, and I appreciate in Senator Davis, this shines a bright light on an area that's been an embarrassment for the state for a long time. People whispered about it. And I don't consider this about truant officers. It's about dropout rates and success rates of our kids in our state. And it's about time we had the conversation and, start placing some challenges out there for each of us, because it doesn't matter which school district you reside in, the problem exists.
It seems to me one of the things we really need to clear up is a clear definition of things, so that when we look at, earlier we looked at the dropout rate, we saw that some districts had no dropout, and we know that's not true, and others had enormous dropouts, and you can't really coordinate those by population of the communities. This makes no sense. And obviously what's happening is there's a different definition of terms. And so it seems to me if we, well, I was going to say if we do nothing else, but I think we're possibly doing a lot of good things, but one of the good things should be to have a very clear understanding of the terms. And one that I just point out is on page 4, line 30, unexcused absence. It looks to me like maybe we're letting, page 4, line 30, maybe we're letting the districts determine the definition of unexcused absence, and it seems to me that that we should have an overall definition of it, so that districts understand without question what an unexcused absence is. That's the bottom of page 4. So just comment that as we go along, I think a real clear definition of terms would be helpful to everybody in the state. Yes, sir.
Senator Stevens, there is a definition of truancy, and I agree it could be improved. On the last page under definitions, on page 5 at the bottom, it says truancy means the act of staying away from school during the school day without permission by a student who is required to attend a public school under the statute 1430.010. That may not be adequate. We could redefine it, but I might add that often students drop out who are left on the rolls, not necessarily by the school districts in Alaska, but around the country. School districts are paid to have, are paid on an average daily membership to have students in the schools. And if they're on the rolls, they have money to help fund. And if the kids come, fine. If they don't, they sometimes just don't say a lot, and hopefully they can get them back in. But this way, regardless of the money issue, we're trying to get the kids back in school and engaged in the process.
Thank you, and I appreciate clarification, Tom. The term I was looking at was unexcused absence. And I appreciate what you have now for truancy definition, but just ask you maybe to consider that sure. And maybe a clearer definition of that. Further questions, Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and just to sort of reverberate it one more time, because I've heard it from multiple sources a couple times in this committee, the term standards-based, so that when those students that for one reason or another have been on the streets or haven't been in school in any event, that when you go to reintegrate them in the system, where they fit, what their achievement level is, so that we can get them on the road to some sort of success rather than just sitting in a classroom based on age or grade level that is suspected they should be at.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think this would be one of the issues that has to be addressed by the Department of Education and the school districts that deal with this every day to know best how to evaluate them. Most of our school districts have our standards based. They're complying with the No Child Left Behind law. Even before that, they had a number of testing abilities to know where children were. The great test is going to be how do you deal with the child who is now should be a senior but has the academic achievement level of a 10th grader. And so they'll recognize this. They'll know how many credits they have and can even test them, I assume, to see if they are proficient at that level. And then hopefully there will be a program to bring them up to speed so that they can stay in school and graduate.
And you're exactly right. There's I think he used to be the superintendent of Chugach School District, Rick DeLorenzo, RISC, I think is a term that's used, that is trying to integrate standards-based education across the state for those that are looking for that tool as a way to get at some of the difficulties we're talking about. But it's clearly happening in the state. I wouldn't say it's a majority participation, but there are elements that are participating, and I think to some degree would say it's successful.
Senator Davis, did you have any comments you care to make?
I don't have a comment at this time, but I will have. I really want us to get to the testimony and sort of get a feel for what the concerns are of the community and the people that's out there waiting to testify.
Sure.
Before we get down into the bill itself.
Okay, thank you. We have a few people signed up, and we can go right on to those. And thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate your comments. If you'd stand by then, and we'll go first to Carol Cuomo. Ms. Cuomo, thank you for being with us. Can you hear me?
I can, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity. I'm Carol Cuomo, superintendent of the Anchorage School District, and first of all, I applaud Senator Davis and the committee for having this proposed legislation. I don't know if it passes this session or not, but I think it's absolutely a critical discussion that has to take place in this state. And if you do carry it over into the interim, I know that I would like to participate in any kind of an interim committee or a series of discussions, both as president of the statewide superintendent's organization that I currently am also, and as an Anchorage superintendent, because truancy has been an issue in Anchorage since the late 90s when the current mayor was on the assembly and former assembly person Joe Murdy. We worked very closely to establish a truancy ordinance in the municipality and in the school district, and we thought it would be relatively simple to get community support. And Senator Davis may remember those days when she was on our school board. It became a huge controversy in our community between homeschooling parents, private schooling parents, and parents, frankly, who said, if I want to excuse my child from going to school that day, I should be able to do that. I was in shock. And I will tell you, we have tried lots of different approaches in Anchorage to get on top of this truancy issue, because we know it leads to all kinds of problems. But part of the problem, I will tell you, is the current compulsory age restriction of 16. We have too many young people coming into our school district from rural Alaska, moving into the community from outside, and many of them are immigrant parents who don't have a good command of the English language, and their children learn very quickly that the state of Alaska doesn't require kids to go to school past the age of 16. And so they say to their parents, well, I don't have to go to school anymore. And so parents are struggling in many cases knowing what the laws are and what they can and can't do to insist that their children go to school. So our district, our board is firmly supportive of increasing the compulsory age to 18 or acquiring a high school diploma. And I the current piece of legislation, and I've been working with Tom Obermeyer, and I appreciate very much his attention to this issue, but we don't think the age 18 shouldn't have the caveat of a high school diploma, because we do graduate a number of 17-year-olds. And once they acquire a high school diploma, to us, that should be the gold standard, not just reaching the age of 18. But 18, I think, or a high school diploma would satisfy our interests on this current piece of legislation that's before you. The other thing I wanted to comment real quickly, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions, is the idea of a truancy officer and a community review board or whatever. When I talked to Tom yesterday, we talked a lot about how Anchorage, with 49,000 students, would implement one truancy officer and some kind of a review board for truants. So I would want maximum flexibility for us to be able to try and figure that out. One truancy officer would be better than what we've got now, I'll tell you. But it's that community review board and the intention and what flexibility a community would have to deal with that would be questions I had. And I think those were the major issues that I brought forward, but I truly commend Senator Davis for bringing this issue forward, because I do think in this day and age, we've got to keep kids in school till they're 18 or acquire a diploma.
Thank you so much, Superintendent. So I think the issue that you brought up, that Senator Huggins also brought up, is an important one. Do we pass legislation that that just enables districts to move ahead and have review boards, or do we pass very specific legislation that that sets out requirements? So would, any further comments you have on that?
Well, we have a very explicit truancy policy in our school board policy that's been in place since, like I said, the 1997, and it's been modified. I think there's got to be flexibility, but some teeth from the state wouldn't hurt. But in the state, homeschooling, I mean, this state allows great latitude to homeschooling, as you know. No accountability for that. And unless the legislature is willing to put some teeth into that, and I don't know how you do that, I think a state definition with the allowances of, you know, the homeschooling, like I said, is going to cause some serious challenge.
All right, right. That's an important issue, Carol. Any questions, Ms. Como? Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Como. First question, would you tick off about a half a dozen programs that you have within your school district that address the issue of graduation, attendance, truancy, number one, and do that, and I'll follow with number two after you complete that.
Well, thank you, Senator Huggins. The thing we've done, and the school improvement grants are hugely important for us to do these. We have developed a continuation program that's, well, basically started for kids who were expelled or long-term suspended for drug and alcohol and non-violent disciplinary issues, because the board asked us to develop a program so the kids would continue with their education but would not be allowed to continue in their mainstream. So that is one program, and it's very successful. It's also been used for kids who have attendance issues. That's gotten them into a more targeted environment where there's very little flexibility for them, and it's worked. We've also done a lot with online learning. We've extended our school day using technology and online courses. Some students, a few students later in the high schools and stay later. We've been able to slip some of our teacher schedule. It's not very large. We've developed another program this year that's called Comprehensive Alternative Options for High School Students, trying to use more technology with a teacher, a couple of teachers, and an administrator supervising their online learning, trying to get them back on track so they don't drop out of school. Our counselors are being paid more addenda to try and track kids who don't show up after a few days. If they've got telephones, we've been fairly successful at getting them back into our schools to come back to one of these programs. If they don't have a phone, we're not as successful, obviously. We've got our Say Aid program and our Benny Benson, which have been in place since the mid-80s, that are all targeted to students who are struggling in our comprehensive programs. We've done a lot with summer school remediation, and that's a lot of that's come out of those school improvement grants and our additional funding. So those kind of programs, the Vail, the one you probably read about this winter when I was going to eliminate it and consolidate it, we put it back in because it captures kids 16 and older who've been out of school 6 months. Very successful for some kids, not very successful for some others. So we're still working on that one.
Senator Huggins?
Yeah, and thank you, Ms. Como, for that. My next question has to do with excused or unexcused absences. Could you differentiate the between the two is how they apply in Anchorage?
Well, let me read to you from the paragraph that it says, truancy is defined as an unexcused absence of a student for a class or classes, and that's at the middle and high school level, or at least a half a day at the elementary level. And then truancy shall be cumulative throughout the semester, except in special circumstances, an absence from class or school by a student without the prior knowledge or consent of the student's parent or guardian will be considered truancy. Now, the problem comes in, as I said at the beginning, parents have asserted they will take their kids out if they choose. And that's been where we've gotten some real pushback from parents.
So that whether or not a student is excused or not is up to the parent? Is that?
Well, that's, yes. And then what we have down under habitually truant, it says a student will be designated as habitually truant after 4 process truancies in a semester. There will be a maximum of 1 truancy recorded per day for the purpose of this section. After the designation of a student as habitually truant, the provision of notice of the designation and determination of a lack of cooperation from either the parent, guardian, and or the student in remediating it, then we can cite them under our municipal ordinance. Because we've got some students, no matter how hard the parent's working, who just flat out refuse to come to school after the age of 16 for the most part. We've also got parents who are saying, look, if I choose for my child not to come to school, that's my right as a parent. So.
Yeah, I understand, and thank you for that. And if I might, one follow-up. As I recall, the statistic that Mr. Obermeyer gave is Anchorage School District has someplace between a 35 and 40% dropout rate, I believe is what he said. Whatever it turns out to be, could you provide us with age 15, I don't know, to 18, what the category by age dropout rate is and by ethnic group?
Category, what do you, okay, category, so you want the 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds?
Correct.
And then the ethnic group. Do you want male, female too?
Please.
Okay, I'll see what we can get you.
Okay.
I do believe, truly, sincerely believe in our community that part of the problem is the fact that the kids know they don't have to go to school after the age of 16.
Right. Well, we have $1 billion in our education fund to address some of these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol Ann. I know this is a little touchy subject, but the issue of homeschooling, I mean, we're many wonderful stories of successes in homeschooling, and I think we all appreciate those. But are you implying that at times this can be used as an excuse for a child who's simply not attending, doesn't want to attend, and the parents are enabling the child not to attend? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I want to be very clear. I also know we have tremendous success stories from homeschooling. Don't get me wrong. But what I know is we've got a group of homeschoolers who are not at that level and have made it, and they testified publicly to the board and school board and the assembly in the late 90s with this truancy issue. They made it very clear that they wanted the flexibility for their child to be in or out of school, and their child shouldn't have to carry around an ID card saying, I'm a homeschooler. So if a child was walking around a mall when most people are in school, that they couldn't be cited. And that was a legitimate concern. What happens with a lot of homeschooling parents, though, they aren't as responsible, and their kids are wandering around a lot. And then the parent realizes they can't do anything as far as certain education, and so then we get them back. And then we have to remediate kids who have been in homeschooling situations that were not of high quality.
Thank you very much, Carol. Senator Olson.
Superintendent Como, good morning, and thanks for testifying this morning. I was wondering in the last comment about those homeschoolers that are obviously going to be in trouble, if not already, because of their lack of attendance. Is that a significant portion of the homeschool population, or is it a small enough percentage where we're putting undue weight on it?
I think it's a small percentage, and I'll tell you, when those comments really came forward were before we started our 2 charter schools are partnering with homeschooling parents. Since we did that, we have seen a much higher attendance rate, if you will, with those partner schools, Frontier and Family Partnership. Both of those are homeschooling-based charter schools. So we've tried to address that as another approach. It's this other area, and I don't have statistics, because unless they report their homeschooler to us, which they're required to do, but there's no follow-up by the state, we don't even know who they all are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Again, Carol, thank you very much for your years of service to Anchorage, but the state of Alaska. And now, are you the president of the superintendent's organization this year?
Yes.
Well, congratulations. We'll look forward to working with you.
I'll be coming down this weekend, so I'm going to be trying to meet with a number of you over Monday and Tuesday, so hopefully I can see you. But I appreciate that. We just want to work with you on this issue. We're very concerned about the dropout rate. And the truancy rate, because we know it leads to crime and gangs. I mean, that is absolutely part of the reason we've put so many resources in developing these separate programs to keep kids in school and engaged. And we've got to do better, and I don't want to make excuses for that, but I just am concerned that keeping everybody in till age 18 and not differentiating with a diploma, we need to work that issue out, I think.
Thanks so much, Carol. And Senator Huggins has a question.
Yeah, Carol, just a quick apology. When I used the wrong term, as I see it, your graduation rate in 2006 was 63.9%, and
right.
I said dropout rate. Those are
right.
Different. Thank
right.
you.
There's two different things, and I was going to clarify. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, again, thanks so much, Carol. I appreciate your spending the time with us this morning, and we'll stay in touch on this issue.
Okay, and thanks for letting me testify.
Certainly.
Okay.
PJ Ford Slack at Delta. Is PJ Ford Slack with us?
Yes, Senator Stevens, I am.
Thank you for being with us. Please identify yourself for the record, if you would.
Thank you, Senator Stevens and committee. I am PJ Ford Slack. I am the superintendent of Delta Greeley School District. And I also want to follow Carol in thanking all of you for paying attention to this effort. And I know from working with Senator Davis before, she's just a great advocate for making sure that kids are successful and staying successful in this state. So I'm going to come at this from a rural perspective and just share with you that a number of us, including Carol and her staff and many of my staff, attended a dropout prevention workout, which I know is not exactly truancy, but truancy figures into this, last Friday down in Anchorage. It was put on by the national, it was the experts were the National Dropout Prevention Center from Clemson University. They gave a number of pros and cons. If your aides would like the information, I know that Kelly Tonsmeyer, myself, or Carol have the information to contact them, because they have statistics on things that have worked in other states and things that have not worked in other states, such as attaching things to driver's licenses has not proved particularly effective. But I just wanted to share that with you, that there were a number of us there. It certainly was a packed ballroom, and that just shows you that we're there with you. We know that this is a concern, and we want to work with you on that. Delta Greeley School District has a little different, of course, than a district the size of Anchorage, but we share some of Anchorage's concerns, because we have a cyber school with teachers that officially work with over 200 students in the Anchorage area through the Nine Star Nonprofit Corporation in trying to get them to obtain a high school diploma. We also have the issue in Delta. We have a large Slavic community. Many of them believe that their students only have to stay in school till 15. Some of it based on where they originated from, some of it based on our current state law and how it is or is not implemented. And I think that when I first came to Alaska 11 years ago, it struck me that the attendance law in this state seemed to be not as tight as in other states. We do have the homeschooling issue. We do have homeschoolers that come in from a variety of places in the state who are not able to read, write, or do math at the age of, at third grade or higher. And coming from Oregon, I will have to say that we used to require homeschoolers, parents, to at least document that they were homeschooling in the district of residence. Now, whether that would work in our state, I do not know, but I know that I asked the department last week whether there were any statistics on how many people we actually have homeschooling. We have nothing that I know of in data at the state right now. So that's to me, a large hole, and especially for those of us in the rural areas. The final thing I'd like to bring to your attention, and I know that Carol has already brought up, is we're a very big parent choice state, as you know, with our cyber schools, our homeschools, and also with the issue of truancy. 4 years ago, when I was the principal at North Pole High School, I literally had parents calling in if a student was listed as tardy between one class and another and telling me that they would excuse their student because they had a right to do that. That the issue of parents being allowed to excuse their student for every issue that they don't want a tardy on the record has happened at Barrow High School, certainly happened at North Pole High School, and I know is happening at Delta High School and our junior high in particular. So while I applaud the ability of parents to make choices, it also makes it very difficult for schools to be able to put any teeth in any truancy issues. The other issue in partnership with that, and I'm not a big advocate of going into the legal system, is that once we identify truancy and we might move on to try to get some help from the legal system, I don't believe there is a great deal of legal support for that because we don't have that tightening on the other side of the law. So I want to thank you for this opportunity. Again, I'm very willing to share with your aides or any information. I'd certainly love to be a part of this conversation if you carry it forward, because I think it's not a receding piece in our education system, but a growing piece, especially at the high school level. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Slack. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. If you have information to share with us, that'd be just wonderful. Our 800 number here is 821-4925, 1-800-821-4925. Ian Fisk is the committee aide. If you'd give him a call and find a way either to email it or mail it to us, that would be real helpful. Thank you.
That's no problem at all, Senator Stevens.
Thanks so much. Any questions?
Actually, I do, Mr.
Yes, Senator Olson.
Mr. Fortslock, you made a comment that attaching the driver's license does not seem to work. Is that a correct statement, or in what, under what context does attaching the driver's license seem to be ineffective?
Senator Huffman, I don't have all the particulars on that. Again, that information and data was collected by the National Dropout Center housed at Clemson University, but yes, they did find that ineffective, and as with a number of other strategies, so I will certainly make sure Ian has the emails of the two experts that were at our presentation last Friday, and we, Carol, I know I alerted them that we were currently working on this in the state, and they're happy to share information. They'll be doing their next two-day workshop in Juneau in the beginning of June, so they are, they spent time in Fairbanks, so they are now a little more familiar with Alaska, and I'll make sure that you get that information.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, and that's a very interesting point. I think it's the state of Indiana that has tried that, and it's been a couple of years, so we should be able to have seen the results. Has it worked or has it not worked? And get some information from that. Okay, again, thank you very much. Senator Huggins.
Yes, ma'am. Charlie Huggins here. I've talked to a number of educators on this issue, and, you know, we have the, which I do not advocate, but we have the unique thing called the permanent fund dividend, and some had advocated using that in lieu of the driver's license. Your thoughts?
Senator Huggins, it's good to hear you on this committee. I met you in the hall a few weeks ago, so that's nice. You know, that would make us very unique if we tried this to attach it to the permanent fund dividend. Perhaps if we did it and made sure that that money maybe was set aside for students later to access it for apprenticeships or career development once they got the high school diploma, that would be a nice thing. But whether that would really stop this, I don't know. I don't know whether people would become creative in how they manage to do that or where that would rise up with parents who maybe are using that to support their families in some of our more rural, remote areas.
Yeah, I understand. And Mr. Chairman, again, I do not support that concept. I just mention it because I've heard it from some people in the education community.
Well, thank you, Senator Huggins. And I understand that it's an idea. It's a thought we should certainly consider. Not that we're necessarily going to go that way, but everything should be on the table, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Let's go on to here in the room, Peggy Cohen from Juneau School District. Ms. Cohen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I'm Peggy Cowan, Superintendent, Juneau School District. And again, I appreciate the chair and the committee and Senator Davis for bringing this focus on attendance. 8 years ago when I joined this Juneau School District, it was before NCLB and some of the state testing, but we did our own district testing. I was in curriculum at the time and worked with one of our middle schools and looked at our students that were unachieving and examine them and had teachers fill out forms on them and try to figure out, and the common denominator on those students was lack of attendance. So we know it, but that was one, you know, sort of arrow to it. And I appreciate, I think the marriage of these bills, bringing them together, brings that sort of beacon of light and focus on this specific issue of attendance. And so I appreciate that. The Juneau School District Board of Education does not have a position on the new truancy provisions of this bill. The board does have a position and supports raising the compulsory education age. The school district definitely has the primary responsibility for engaged learning and keeping kids in school. But we need to have every support we can. This is a statewide problem, and the raising the compulsory age is a thing that the legislature can do, and I urge you to do that. It will, as the other speakers have done, it will support the parents who want their kids in school, and it will communicate that we have that expectation when there's, you know, confusion now that it's okay. Last year when there was a lot of discussion that, you know, parents had the right and they didn't want their kids to do it, you know, to have to go to school. The parents I deal with, many of them are looking for the support of the state. They keep their kids there till they're 16 because they say you have to, it's the law, and then they feel powerless. And so many of them would appreciate that support. And I think it's an important policy statement that you can make. Lou Custon, who I believe is next on the list, is the Director of Student Services. He is going to talk more particularly about the truancy provisions. He currently manages our truancy program. Again, we think this state support and focus on this would be helpful as Anchorage, as Kenai, as other communities. Juneau, the borough, has an ordinance that we partner with on in terms of truancy. And so we've been relying ultimately on the state law, but primarily been doing it locally through the local ordinance.
Thank you very much, Peggy. I've not taught in public schools, but from a teacher standpoint, is this a problem with, first you've got kids that don't want to be there, and that's, as a teacher, that's going to be pretty tough to get a history class going when a lot of your students don't want to be there. But what if now they're 18 and they really don't want to be there? Do you see an impact on the educational system? I mean, on having a lot of kids in the classroom that don't want to be there even more than they did when they were 16? Is that going to affect things?
It could affect things. I think, again, that's where it comes down to the local districts to figure out the system for engaged learning for kids of all those ages and for all the different learning styles and for providing different opportunities, as Como described, a rich array of them, which was wonderful. And smaller communities aren't going to be able to have quite the diversity. We have an alternative school that is now, kids are trying to get into it, and it was originally set up for kids that were over 16 who had basically dropped out. You couldn't get in unless you had dropped out. We now, you know, let other, you know, students in when they become disenfranchised. It's a wonderful alternative, and it originally were kids that were unsuccessful, and now we're getting kids with wonderful resumes and transcripts, and we're going, well, this wasn't designed for you, but they want to be there because they want to be in a smaller learning community. And so, again, it's incumbent on us to design those attractive smaller learning communities that a lot of kids will want to be in. One of the things I emphasize when I work with the community, and certainly would like to emphasize to you, is that these are not throwaway kids. I mean, I don't think any kids are throwaway kids, but in terms of our dropouts, the majority of them are successful on the state tests. They pass the high school qualifying exam. They show that they have, can be successful. There are, math is an area that is less successful than others, which gives us some communication as well in terms of needing to work with students in, you know, particular areas. But these are kids that are capable and can do the work, and it's our responsibility to provide them the work and the environment and the course schedules and that will allow them to thrive. But it's your but we believe it's a important partnering on you to communicate that this is where they need to be, and education is what they need to be doing with their lives at this stage of in this age.
Thank you. Just thinking off the top of my head, I graduated from high school decades and decades and decades ago, but I still think fondly of some of the enormously great teachers I had who were able to motivate you and get you going and get you interested in things and keep the classroom exciting. Thank you for all you've done and others. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, and I too thank you for that. My question is, as I recall, Juneau has a sizable, I'll call it a bubble, of special needs kids in comparison to other school districts. Does that have any bearing on the subject we're talking, or is it just...
Actually, it does to some degree, but perhaps not in the direction that you think. I'm not sure where you're leading, but our special needs students just have higher attendance rates and drop out at a lesser rate than other students. And I believe, we're working on statistics to try to figure this all out, but I believe a lot of it has to do with personalization, which is what we're trying to go to with a new system of secondary education. Those students have individual education plans. They have true parent and school and teacher and partnerships in planning their education, and they have advocates within those programs, and those students do not drop out at the rate that that other students do, and I think it's because of some of those support systems.
Yeah, so, you asked where I was going. I wouldn't go any place.
Yeah, but I
figured out how it came to bear.
I wasn't sure, I obviously we are not necessarily going to provide individual education plans for every student in the system. I think to the extent that we can adopt that mentality and figure out what each student needs to, and have options for students to meet those standards. We were talking about standards-based education earlier. In terms of the system and the state is now set up as a standards-based system, so we need to figure out one of the sort of slogans is standards, not standardization. We want to have high standards for all students. We want them to have reached those understandings that the state Department of Education has articulated, but we do not necessarily have to have a standardized way to get them to those standards. And special education is a prime example of an area that that has those alternate routes, and I think the more alternate routes for other students we can come up with, the more successful we'll be.
Thank you, Peggy. I hate to cut anybody off because I know this is a very important subject. I want to make sure that we have a time to listen to everybody. We have two more presenters, and obviously this is such an important issue. We're not going to get through all of this today. We'll be coming back and talking more, but I want to make sure we get to Lou and Paula before we get to the magic hour of 8 when some of our members have to go to another meeting. Senator Wilkin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Really quickly, thanks, Peggy, for being here. You always do a good job for us. We appreciate it. Juneau's a well-run school district because of your efforts over the last years. Could you, I'll do it now, could you give to the committee a sense of how a well-run school district defines dropout, and then from that, give us the whatever period of time is appropriate, just to tell us how you total up those numbers and the classifications that you arrive at to give a dropout rate for Juneau School District.
I can actually. The dropout has now been standardized across the state.
Okay.
And so that, and I can certainly, I'll email you that and work through the Department of Ed. That's one thing, and actually Mr. Kustin is going to talk about that in terms of a truancy definition, because I think it's been helpful across the state so that we don't change from year to year. We were at one point not, we were counting kids who left during the summer, were being counted against the graduation rate, against the dropout rate, and different things like that, and those things have been unified, but we can certainly provide that to you.
Thank you. As an example. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. Appreciate your comments. Lou, there you are. Is it K-U-S-T-I-N?
Right, Kustin.
Thank you, Lou. And if you identify yourself on the record, please.
Lou Kustin, Director of Student Services for Juneau School District, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and Senator Davis, as always, it's a pleasure. And I think that this is a very positive step, in the right direction. And I was glad to hear, a shining light on an issue that's been longstanding. I do have a couple of comments. As a district that has a truancy officer, that What we realize that it's an entire system effort, and by that I mean our truancy officer works very closely with the other agencies in town, as well as, you know, within our school district, works very closely with our school counselors. We've, you know, developed some systems where if a student, prior to even a student dropping out, if you hear that a student's going to drop out, there's an interview process that is initiated right away where we start intervening with the student and the family, and the counselors have some direct contact with those students. We also monitor those students with phone calls after they drop out and provide opportunities for them to come in. The alternative program that Peggy talked about has also been an added bonus to us to bring kids back into the system that have dropped out for a period of time from school, and they come back in and end up having a very positive school experience. I would say that, and I could certainly see the issue for Anchorage, for us having a truancy officer with approximately 5,000 students really stretches that individual. There are so much need out there for intervention that the individual that I work with, we meet often and we talk about prioritizing, you know, which direction to go in and what interventions to do. And, you know, to be honest with you, that there are some situations out there where it would take more effort than we have to bring that child back into school. So we would be very happy to have another truancy officer added to our program, because we would keep the one we have, and so that would certainly help out in that area. There are some times, though, that I would comment that, and we really don't like to go there, where you have to be punitive. And, you know, the truancy officer has to cite a parent, ends up in the courtroom to try and use that leverage to get, you know, a student back in school. Still not successful in all instances. So even though you do go the punitive route, it doesn't help in all instances, or it will help for a period of time. But I would say that, you know, I know that that was a point made here, but unfortunately that is a route that sometimes needs to be taken. One of the things that I ran into a couple of years ago when I first took this job was the definition of what an excused absence was. And the state collects data through, EED collects data for NCLB, and it's called the Truancy Suspension and Expulsion Report. So I call a gentleman named Scott Brocious in EED to try and get, you know, what is the definition, because I was trying to figure this out when I worked at the high school. If we had students that missed, you know, 10 classes, then we, you know, we had an eight class letter and then a 10 class letter, you know, we kind of initiated that process. There was no definition. He referred to the data as dirty data, that it wasn't very clean, that all the information that was being collected statewide. So I would really encourage, if not a state definition for what an unexcused absence was or for truancy, that we at least you know, had some direction so we could be similar across the state. Superintendent Como, she brought up an interesting issue. At one point in my career, I was a principal for the Anchorage School District, and I was one of those folks that did implement the policies that were brought forward on truancy, and I would have to say that that was a nightmare for me as a principal, because parents do want to exert their right to excuse students, and they will do that. And even though you know a student is probably truant, and let me correct that, is truant, because you've, you know, got reports, or you've seen them yourself, you know, in a mall, walking around, or doing whatever it is, the parent will say, no, I'm excusing my child, and that's my right to excuse my child. So you really do, you know, get into a bind when you're trying to exert the hand of the school to get the student into the school. Now, that's not in all instances, but I would say that that did occur enough times to make it unpleasant for the administrator trying to, you know, get a student and do a positive thing for a student back into the school system. I also feel that the increase of the compulsory age to 18 or having a high school diploma was a very, very positive aspect of this bill before us. All in all, I believe that it's a step in the right direction, that it's probably going to be one of those that's a work in progress. There will be changes, you know, down the road as, you know, the state experiments and gets involved with this to come back and clean it up and make some amendments to it.
Well, thank you very much, Lou, and I apologize that we have a finance meeting on the hour here, and pretty important right at this moment, so they didn't leave because they're not interested, I can assure you of that. So I think what I understand from what you've said, certainly the importance of defining terms, so we all have a clear idea what excused absence, unexcused absence is, and it's very clear. The issue that we heard earlier about parents wanting to give us child an absence between classes because they relate for the second class, that, I mean, that makes no sense at all to me, but...
Does occur, yes.
But I assume it has occurred. Well, thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate your time, and I hope you'll continue to be involved in this committee as we move forward with this bill.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lou.
For the opportunity.
And now we'll go to Paula.
I'm here just for questions on the old Section 4.
Oh, you are, Paula. I see that. If questions.
Because it's no longer in the draft CF.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see. So if you would come back, Tom, if you'd mind coming back to the table, any comments you'd care to make and wrap up for today, realizing that we are not going to conclude this at this moment.
Senator Stevens, I think we've covered the basis pretty well. I think that it looks like it's an ongoing process. We can't resolve it today, but I think we have a good start, and perhaps we can get some help with the drafting people as well if there needs to be some definition changes and other changes in the bill.
Thank you, Tom. I guess I would have to say I was shocked at the number of, and I don't know if everyone has this, the number of emails I received, 34 emails saying, no, don't do this. Two emails saying, yes, do it. 34-2, and this is not a popularity contest, clearly not, but...
I'd like to speak to that.
Well, good, and my question is there a misunderstanding out there? Are the people who say, absolutely no, don't do this, do they misunderstand the goal of this bill? Yes, Senator, please go ahead.
Yes, just to the point on what you just spoke to, I received those emails, many of those emails, and I'd heard from people way before the bill came up for a hearing, and mostly from homeschoolers' parents, thinking that it was a force in their children to stay in school, and if they didn't want them to be there, they didn't think this bill should be adopted. I think there's some misunderstanding about maybe what we are trying to achieve in this bill. And I want to go back and say that we certainly want to give school districts the flexibility to come up with this team idea of having everybody involved, and not just the school district involved, to have the community, the parents, have students on these committees. And what would be good to have it in state law is that it would be consistent throughout the state and not just some school districts doing it and others not. That's one reason I think it needs to be in law. As far as increasing the age from 16 to 18, there's many reasons that's been already stated why it would be good to do that. But there are exceptions already in the law that would allow one to have their child not involved in the school system if they did not want them there. We can address that. You know, this is not the first time I bought in a bill that spoke to age requirements, because our mandatory age for children to come to school is age 7, when 95% of our children go to kindergarten at age 5, and you can't get that changed because most people feel like that's their right to have their child out till they're 7 years old, but yet we know what it causes. You have children coming to school, sometimes even as late as age 6, that have no schooling at all. And you can't take a 7-year-old and stick them in kindergarten at that age. You have to deal with that, and we do. But we talked about high schools and middle school, but I want you to know that this bill is drafted towards all grade levels, not just high schoolers, because the problems start early in school. The truancy, the dropout, the problems that we have, and what's the problem? Some maybe be bored with schools, but maybe there are other problems. There could be some mental problems. There could be home problems. There could be, disruption in the family. The kids can be moved. All kinds of things that can cause them to have a problem in this area. That's why I see having a committee of people and community involvement working on this issue and bringing it to light so people have a great understanding on it and how they can work to make our school system better. Not just force them to sit up in the room and not do the work. We talked about all the alternative programs we have, and many school districts have those. Charter school programs, other special programs that we have. There's many things that will help us keep our children in school so they may graduate. And this bill does not force Warren to stay in school until he's 18. If you graduate at 16, you leave the system. And the goal is to get a high school diploma. We know those that have a high school diploma would fare better than those without one. And so we're going to try to do everything that we can to help them stay in that school system to get that. And I want to hear, you know, this bill, I'm not trying to push it through that we pass this now. I'm willing to have hearings over the summer. I'm willing to work with the better bill. I've looked at various definitions that other school districts have used. I'm going to get back to you with some definitions that we might consider to be workable for us. And maybe when we come back next session, we'll be able to move further. But I don't want to wait till then if we can have another hearing prior to that, because there are other people, once they hear about this bill, are going to want to testify. And I'd like to hear from as many people as we can while we're here. And I think if you looked at some of this, the same wording, the same statements were made as if there was a group of people all having the same thought in mind, send the letter in. So I'm not very concerned about that many people calling in and said no, they don't support it. That happened when people think that you're invading their territory. And, you know, sometimes we have to do that. And I'm willing to keep moving forward.
Thank you, Senator Davis. It's been a very valuable discussion, and we all support you in bringing this issue before us and trying to find a solution. I think it's on a practical standpoint, Senator Wilkins, Senator Davis, we are a special committee. I think by the rules, we don't continue to exist between sessions.
But I do.
So, but you do. So I guess we need to talk about that in a strategic point of view. Do we, certainly I think this is the point, this is the place where all of these discussions need to take place. Following this committee goes on to State Affairs and Finance. So it's an issue we should talk about and see how we want to deal with this. Thank you very much, Mr. Obermeyer, Senator Davis, for presenting this bill. Any comments anybody cares to make? If not, then thank you all for being here, and we're adjourned.
Thank you for hearing it.